Welcome back, guys. DGS. We like to do a lot of stuff here on the show. Always have. Being a local musician, I'm buddies with most of the local musicians. We highlight as many bands as any station does, other than probably the Pointer Casey. Here on the DGS, my buddy Jeff Faulkner, the veteran of many, many of my favorite bands, is here.
many bands.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Lost Parade, man. Soul Kiss.
That goes back.
We're lucky. Because we got to be musicians and we got to be music fans locally during a great time.
Yeah, the 90s, you know, especially like the late 90s, the all original music scene in St. Louis was the most vibrant I think it's probably ever been.
Yeah.
You know, it was an exciting time. Bands getting signed out of here left and right.
And you could go to the Landing or the Loop and you could see five or six great bands. Yeah.
I think I lived at Kennedy's. I think I had a little bed set up in the balcony there. I was there so much.
Great times.
Yeah.
So you're here to promote Mr. Blue Sky, your ELO tribute band. We've done this a few times together.
Yes.
So roll it out for everyone.
So we're doing it again this summer, Chesterfield Amphitheater, September 13th. We have a huge, big, ginormous production planned, as usual. This is sort of our show of the year.
Do you
for
get
us,
into that man. Stuff, that part of it?
Yeah, you know, since I've been doing this project, I've gotten a lot more into it. Because if you're going to do Electric Light Orchestra, you know, is
yeah,
in the
title.
Yeah, you
can't go half-ass on ELO.
And you know, going back to their shows they did in the 70s, they always had big production, you know. So I'm trying to make it as close to the real McCoy as possible.
Yeah.
And you know, we've been around, we've been doing it for 5 years now, and you know, it just keeps getting better and better with each show, you know. And the response has just been absolutely awesome. I mean, you know, we started, like I said, 5 years ago. We played our first show at the Duck Room. And it sold out. We hadn't played a show. And it's just been going like that ever since that show.
Were you into ELO back in junior high and stuff?
I was, yeah. I got into ELO via the Xanadu soundtrack.
Oh, cool.
Horrible movie, great soundtrack.
Interesting.
But, you know, you listen to those ELO songs on that soundtrack, which is on the B side of the soundtrack, is all ELO. And just some of the greatest songs ever written, in my opinion. And as a 13-year-old kid, I just remember hearing the harmonies.
Yeah.
And that pulled me in because I've just always been a big fan of vocal harmonies, layered harmonies.
Yeah, being such a Beatles kid, they immediately...
I like to call ELO, you know, the Beatles with strings, with orchestral elements around it. John Lennon referred to them as the baby Beatles.
Yeah.
You know,
and Jeff Lynne could have been a Beatle. He absolutely could have written, and he could have kept pace with
those
guys.
You certainly hear the Beatle influence there. I mean, there are a couple ELO songs. You know, as I've gone in and have been learning this stuff, you know, over the past 5 years, you go in and you start figuring out, you know, well, this progression is exactly a Beatles song. It's just in a different key. Mm-hmm. You know, Telephone Line is the exact same progression as Something, but it's just in a different key. You know,
I had no idea.
I mean, that's how influenced, and that's how much he wanted it to sound Beatley.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
Jeff Lynne still sounds pretty good.
He does. Yeah, he just started this is his last tour he's doing. He just had his first show a couple days ago, and the reviews were really great.
Yeah,
he's going to be in St. Louis the week before our show, so our show is going to be like the Jeff Lynne comes to St. Louis after party.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
And at our show, you're going to hear a lot of ELO songs that Jeff won't play, a lot more deep cuts that Jeff won't play, and ours is going to be a little cheaper too.
Yeah. Any notables in your band that you want to shout out?
Well, we just picked up a girl by the name of Susie Bacino, who's our new female background singer. Her and her husband, Michael Eisenbeiss, they have a few bands around town.
Yeah, Michael's not bad.
Michael's a great player and just one of the nicest guys, and they're both just super people. And they have a band called Find a Drive, which is a trio. And they do, it's sort of like rootsy Americana type stuff. And they're going to be opening the show on September 13th at Chesterfield Amphitheater.
Any other details we need to give people about how to get tickets or anything?
So you can get tickets. You can go to Eventbrite and just search Mr. Blue Sky, a tribute to ELO, or search, you know, Chesterfield Amphitheater, Mr. Blue Sky. Or you can go to MrBlueSkyMusic.com.
How do you like the amphitheater?
I really, really love it out there. You know, every year they make these upgrades to the stage and to the production, to the lighting, to their PA. I mean, everything. And it's gotten to be kind of like a kind of a mini Riverport.
Yeah.
You know, which it'll always be Riverport to me. I don't call it Hollywood.
Right.
Whatever.
It'll always be Riverport.
But to me, it's sort of a it really is a miniature version of Riverport.
Yeah.
You know, it holds, I think capacity out there is like 5,000 people.
Yeah.
So every seat is a great seat. And they've got reserved assigned seatings in the front, and then everything else is kind of like lawn type seating.
Yeah.
And there are only about 50 of those reserved seats left, I think.
Okay.
So if people want to get those,
good,
go get them quick.
I remember seeing you. I was out at the pool at Whitmore with Phoebe, I think. And I didn't recognize you because I'm in the pool with my daughter.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's like a duo retreat. And I'm like, this guy's killing it. Because, you know, it's like, it's Whitmore. They're going to hire good people. But you just don't expect to go to a pool on a Sunday and see some guy kill it.
Yeah. You're right.
And then I'm like, it's friggin' Faulkner.
Of course it is. We've done some gigs at some weird places, man. Like, I remember playing at the airport one time on the arrival terminal, you know, and people are walking by like, what? And we're like set up right on the terminal.
You know? You'll appreciate this story. Dave Kiles and Greg Hullab, who are in my band for 20 years. I was doing a Dave Glover appearance at a new home site.
Yeah.
And so they hired Greg and Dave to just do acoustic. And they were down in the basement and like not many people were looking in the basement. So there's no one down there.
Yeah.
And they did Stevie Ray Vaughan. And I have seen Dave Kiles do Stevie Ray Vaughan countless times in my band.
Yeah.
And it was acoustic, and it was just me and Tom Turbrock, and he did the best Stevie Ray on the guitar I've ever seen. And when he finished, he goes, wow. Like, we all knew it. But there's an example of, like, no one saw that greatness.
Yeah. Dave Kiles, by the way, shout out to Dave Kiles. I've known him. We go back to
the
late 90s, and one of the best guitar players in town, and just sincerely one of the nicest guys in town, too.
Yeah, for
sure. If you ever have to deal with him on a business level, which he's very involved musically, business-wise. But yeah, Dave and I go way back, and he's just one of the nicest guys, you know?
We were together 20 years, never had a crossword.
Yeah.
Never once.
Yeah.
What a delight.
I don't think I've ever had a phone conversation with him that lasted less than an hour.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The very first time we got together to practice, they found out, they were fans of the show, found out that I was a musician, and we got together at this practice space out in St. Charles, and I was really, I'm like pooping water nervous, right? And I just, let's go, let's plug in, let's go, let's get this, you know, debacle over with. Yeah. And Dave gets there late, and he walks in with Burger King breakfast, and it takes him 48 minutes to eat it. And I didn't know Dave at that point. Like, I would have many experiences like that in the future, but
So he wasn't really worried about anybody else's schedules. He was just kind of...
He was on Cal's time.
That sounds like a musician.
Yeah, it does. Sounds, what do you want to play for us?
I'll tell you what, I'll do something off the El Dorado album since it turned 50 this year, 50 years old. So, this one's off that record.
Okay, let's hear it.
All right.
No, I can't get it out of job in the city. Robin Hood and William Tell and I'm an old Lancelot. They don't pity me, yeah. Sit until the sun goes down.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Get how you do that.
I'll be here every Tuesday. Lots and lots of practice.
That's really good, man.
By the way, I saw your guys' clip on the Chimp Crazy.
Yeah.
Show.
Yeah.
I was like, that's Dave.
I know that guy. My buddy's on HBO. So the concert is at Chesterfield Amphitheater on September 13th. You can get tickets at Eventbrite, Mr. Blue Sky. Thank you, my buddy. Appreciate
Thanks,
it,
Dave.
Pal.
Appreciate it.
24 DGS. So let's talk a little. Cardinals dropped one last night.
Yeah, Kyle Gibson got beat up a little bit, and the offense has just been quiet for a while now. Again, you know, the math is the problem right now. You still need 22 wins between now and the end of the year, and you've got to do that in 31 games after last night. One of the trends that's hurting now, aside from the lineup being a little bit light, and of course with Wilson Contreras out, it's even lighter than it was, is that the starting rotation continues to kind of fall off. You know, beginning of the year, it was a really kind of a fun story, right? Lance Lynn got off to a good start. Kyle Gibson was really amazing. And like last night, as an example, Gibson has just slipped over the last couple of months. And again, it's not like he's not doing a decent job at times. It's just that, like, now for July and August combined, the ERA is over 5.
Is this most pitchers in the league?
No, it varies.
Did they fall off?
No, I mean, everybody goes through periods of time, but the top guys don't. Well, nobody thought he was a top guy. That's kind of the point. And you're still kind of missing what you were missing in the beginning. You've gotten more innings than last year. That's partly why it's held together better and longer, right? Last year, everything fell apart on the pitching side. And this year it's held together, but it's just a slow leak as opposed to a collapse, right? Last year it collapsed, it fell apart, and that's why you only won 70 games. You're going to win a lot more than that this year. You're going to win 10 more than that this year, most likely, maybe even more than that. Maybe a good bit more than that, depending on how you finish. But it's been more of a slow leak. So, you know, you look at Gibson as just an example. Michaelis is kind of the same. Even Sonny Gray. Although with Sonny, some of the underlying stuff is better than the real number, right? So his actual ERA is 4.07, but like his expected ERA is better than that. Fielding independent is better than that. So he's actually pitched better than that and has had a little bit of bad luck behind him in that regard. It's a little bit less true for guys like Gibson and Michaelis, but it made me look something up last night because it feels true, and obviously it is true. There are only 4 teams in baseball that have struck out fewer batters than the Cardinals pitching staff. And in a time when strikeouts matter probably more than they ever have, that's a bit of a problem. And the only guy in the rotation that really strikes people out is Sonny Gray. And he's good at it. Like, to me, the signing of Sonny has been what you'd want. Mm-hmm. The ERA is a little higher than you hoped. But again, as I pointed out, some of that's not his fault. Some of that's been some bad luck on balls in play. And some of that's been defense not being good enough on certain days. And don't get me wrong, he's given up home runs, which is a new thing for him. And he's even talked about that. But everybody else on the pitching staff that starts is below average when it comes to striking people out. Like, Miles Michaelis is in the 8th percentile when it comes to striking batters out. Like, so 92% of pitchers strike out batters at a higher rate than him.
Which we knew, though.
Right, we knew that, but it's a little more extreme than it's been. Like, Andre Pallante is in the 15th percentile. Lance Lynn is in the 40s. Kyle Gibson, I think, is the upper 30s. And it just adds a layer of things that become difficulties, right? The more balls in play, the more things can go wrong. So if there's a runner on third base, even if you don't give up a hit, a ball in play in most cases scores that run. A strikeout keeps that runner there. And that's kind of where a lot of the top teams are, is they have more people that strike people out. Cardinals have that in the bullpen. Romero strikes people out. Helsley obviously strikes people out. Kittredge has not, which has been surprising to me. Normally he does, but he hasn't as much this year. So if we're thinking about the bigger picture and like what needs to be different, well, certainly they need to hit more. And I don't think you could have accounted for Contreras missing all that time and Arenado and Goldschmidt falling off as much as they have. But pitching-wise, you knew you weren't getting swing and miss in most of these guys' cases. You knew you're getting it with Sonny, and you've gotten that with him. He's been what you would want. So if you're looking at things for the future, though, that need to change, that'd be one of them, is more swing and miss is going to be helpful.
.335 DGS on KMOX. We have a live look from Dave.
Yes, we do. One moment, please.
Well, no question about it. It's just plain hot across St. Louis. Some of the hottest weather we've seen day and night with our temperatures all summer long. We've been hovering around 100 degrees. Tonight, only dropping back to 79. The city does not get out of the 80s. Now, Wednesday and Thursday, it's going to be a little more of a southerly flow. We've been in the southwest flow, which is a bit of a drier heat flow of air, but more of a southerly flow direct from the Gulf of Mexico Wednesday and Thursday. So partly sunny skies, more humid because of that southerly flow. And in turn, there'll be some spot thunderstorms around. 98, though, for the high Wednesday and again on Thursday. Now, a cool front is going to try to push into our dome of heat on Friday. It's going to be a very slow process, but it should get through. But there will be scattered thunderstorms around on Friday, and in turn, it's going to be a little cooler. Still think it's quite humid on Friday. 89 degrees right now. The long holiday weekend, a rarity. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, dry times, partly to mostly sunny skies. Rather comfortable humidity levels with temperatures in the low to mid 80s. There you have it. I'll be with you live tomorrow.
Nice. What was that?
We all left you, Dave. Was nice, and we all go.
We all treated Dave's report like it was Amy saying something crazy.
Right. Okay, Murray.
That should be nice, and we were all like,
heard that.
Sure, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
Sure,
holiday
buddy.
Weekend.
Yep.
I had a really nice memory last night out of nowhere. Can I share it with you?
Yeah.
I was 13, and Brad Wells, the police chief of Wood River Police Department now, he and I decided we needed to make money. And so our plan was to hop on our bikes and drive out into the farmland and find a farmer to hire us.
Oh, yeah.
And so we rode out by SIU back in the days when you could be 13 years old and 5 miles away from your house and no one know where you are. And there was a farmer baling hay, and we'd never baled hay before. And when you bale hay, I found out the hard way, you need to wear long pants and long shirt and a hat because hay will just cut you.
Hay's rougher than it looks.
Really rough. And we, 13 years old, rode up to this guy, asked if he needed help. And he kind of sized us up and said, sure. I think he paid us $2 or $3 an hour, something like that, which back then was pretty good for a 13-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, you're baling hay. And we got there at about 4 in the afternoon and worked until about 8. And I remember riding my bike home, and my forearms were all cut up from the hay, and my neck was all sunburned from being in the sun. And I had about 20, 30 bucks in my pocket, and I felt like the king of the world.
Nice. You had a good day.
Good day.
Do you remember what you guys needed the money for?
No, just in general.
Okay. I didn't know if you were saving up to
cocaine.
It was, yeah, Brad had a terrible habit. No, it was just one of those, like, you know, you get allowance and you go buy your Beatles record or your Hot Wheels, or your Vampire Blood, whatever it is. But then, like, well, I want a little more. Well, in South Roxana, 13 is a fine age to go work.
Mm-hmm. We always wanted to buy baseball cards, right? And you can only bum money from your parents. They weren't always going to give you the couple of bucks to buy 3 or 4 packs of baseball cards, whatever it was. The way we would make money, and I think I've told you guys this before, we just jump on our bikes and ride around the neighborhood and pick up glass bottles
it's like
and
little
cans.
Little rascal stuff.
We would bring bags, and we would pick up enough just bottles and cans laying like next to the curb on the street or on the lower part of the lawn.
You sound
have the lawn.
So old right
now. I know, it's insane. But like, think about this. This is the probably early 80s. There was so much crap just thrown onto the neighborhood streets where I live that we could go pick up $5 worth of bottles and cans two or three times a week and go buy baseball cards.
Yeah, why don't people talk about that more? Because it's always like, man, in the 80s, everything was better. But I don't want to live in an area that's covered
trash.
In trash. Like, littering isn't even a thing.
And it wasn't a trashy neighborhood. It's just a normal, you know, like, regular old neighborhood. And you're just like, what? Like, we thought nothing of it. This is like, boo, this is brilliant. We just went free money just sitting everywhere. And now I think about it like, there was trash everywhere. We just threw their crap outside the car.
Having money in your pocket that you earned was a revelation.
Yeah.
Like, that was pretty sweet. And by the time we were 14, we were working at, like, Willard's horseradish farm. Just 14. Crazy.
I'm trying to think of when I had I think my first real job was after I had a driver's license.
My first legal one was when my 16th birthday, I went to work at Mr. Donut.
Oh, okay.
And that was the first time it wasn't, like, shady.
Yeah, my first job was Sears.
Yeah.
I worked at the register in the men's department.
I bet you did.
Guess what my first day of work was? December 22nd.
Yikes.
That sucked. I'm up there. I have no idea what I'm doing. There are probably 30 people in line, and we have all four registers going at our little thing, and they're just like, it just never stopped. It was the whole day because it was you didn't order anything then. You went and bought it.
Yeah.
And you just sat there all day doing it.
When I think of Sears, I think of the one in Alton, and it had a candy counter.
Mm-hmm.
And
what?
My dad said I could get something, and for some odd reason, I chose Spanish peanuts with the skin on them.
Yeah,
and
they're
I almost
good,
choked to death.
You got to stop these
choice.
Self-destructive tendencies that you had as a kid.
Even my dad was like, "You sure you don't want some chocolate?" I'm like, "No, I'm going to go with the Spanish peanuts with the."
Did you think there was something different about them?
He was like, "I'm different."
Yeah, it just there's some. It just
I asked if they had milk and magnesia, but they didn't have any, so I'll go with the Spanish peanuts.
Yeah, I mean those are good, but it's just a different. It's not candy.
And then same day, I think, so I choked on the Spanish peanuts. I was a choker. Still am. And we went next door to shoe store that is on the corner.
Tom McCann?
No, it's an Alton.
Yeah, I know what you're talking. It's not there anymore.
It's been shut down since.
But I remember going there.
You
when
got
I was
shoes there,
too. Yeah.
And they were Red Goose shoes.
Yeah, they had the Red Gooses.
And there was a big goose. And if you bought a pair of shoes, you got a golden egg. And so I bought a pair of shoes, got a golden egg full of like candy and stuff.
Oh, okay.
And it had a peppermint. And I was choking on it 30 minutes after I was choking on Spanish peanuts. And what I remember is my dad didn't even look at me. He just smacked my back. It came out of my mouth and went flying across this dusty wood floor. Schneider's.
Yes. That place was magical. It was like all the wood. The paneling was wood. The floor was like that real dark wood.
Yeah.
And then, they still had, up to when I was a kid, they had the golden eggs and the geese. Oh, that was great.
Did you get to get an egg at
I've
any
never
point?
Been to Schneider's. Never been. We did shop at Alton Refrigeration. I don't know if you've ever been in there.
That's
and
where
they
you
had,
got your shoes?
No, but they would they had
cold.
Stuffed dogs. They had little pups, and we got stuffed dogs.
Well, that's
know.
Way better than
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of cooler than a golden egg. And they had
she was
a
holding
soda
on to that looking
machine.
Down on us.
Did you choke on the dog?
I did not. They had a fountain soda machine and little styrofoam cups, and you could get.
What
soda.
Were you shopping for?
My parents were buying like appliances or something. I
don't
know.
Oh boy, that's a bad day.
Yeah, but it was nice because you got soda.
I was smart.
That was her milk of magnesia moment. She's like, I need refrigerant. I really want some refrigerant.
I remember going to, I think it was called Mike's, a flooring place, ironically. And back in the 70s, kids could just climb on the giant rolls of carpeting. No one even tried to stop you. You just climbed it like a pyramid.
Isn't it crazy the difference between being a kid and being an adult? Because I remember going to Lowe's with my parents and being in the light section and they're looking at different lights and I'm just like, this is the most boring thing I've ever done. And now when I go to Lowe's, I'm like, I'm going to go check out those lights.
Check out those lights.
Interesting section.
It is weird how life goes. You think Billy still thinks about me?
Oh, yeah.
All the time.
You guys are very close. So
we hit it off.
You did. That was cool.
We talked wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Yes. That's how you get people.
Yeah.
Talk about things other than.
Yeah. What was it like in Smashing Pumpkins?
Yeah, I know.
I'm like, yeah, man, I grew up watching Bobo Brazil and Wrestling at the Chase. He's like, shut up. Oh, my God, Bobo Brazil.
Yeah.
Like,
those are the best
friends.
Remember, he told me I could be a wrestler.
I remember that.
Yeah. He did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Since you had the physique to be a wrestler.
So that's my backup plan. Or maybe.
What was the better compliment, that or the coffee shop today?
Probably Billy Corgan.
Yeah, it's Billy Corgan.
Headlines?
Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Vice President Kamala Harris's campaign raised $82 million during the DNC and has brought in a staggering $540 million since she entered the presidential race roughly 1 month ago.
That is staggering.
That's great. I mean, the enthusiasm for this candidate is very surprising, especially considering a couple months ago, everyone was like, well, if it's not Joe, then it's going to be Kamala, and that would be horrible. Everyone seems to have just had this change of heart.
She has had as big an arc as any politician in my lifetime, because it wasn't that long ago that we all sort of agreed that she kind of sucked. You know, it's like, oh yeah, she's just not that great. She's fine, but she didn't even get like 2% when she was in the primaries, blah 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 blah. That was Kamala Harris, and this has just been a rebirth. And you know what, one more thing, I watched the convention and I watched her speak. She's living up to it. Now, there's a difference between giving speeches and being the president of the United States, being the leader of the free world. But she, so far, what has been advertised, she's delivering.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing because you're right. So many, the view was really kind of negative of her. How much of it is just the sharp contrast between her presentation and, because the thing I thought about the other night when I was thinking about this very, this kind of idea. Was, remember the Eddie Murphy bit where he's like, you're stranded in the desert, and if you get a cracker, it's going to be the greatest tasting cracker you've ever had because you're starving. It's a funnier bit. I'm blowing it. But like, it's the contrast. It's not that she's that great, but there's a huge difference between, not just between her and Biden, but also between how she presents and how Trump presents. Yeah. And how many people were just dying for a difference?
Mm-hmm.
And you get it. And then, you know, that particular political alignment is going to be really excited because it's not those two guys anymore, and it's not the guy you thought was going to lose.
Well, and how much does that feed into itself? She's obviously getting this new energy because everyone is excited for someone who isn't in their 80s. And then how does that make her feel? How does that make her present herself differently? How much more confidence does that give her whenever she's giving a speech? So, you know, it's very interesting to see. Speaking of former President Donald Trump, Tulsi Gabbard, a former Hawaii Democrat who left the Democratic Party in 2022, is endorsing President Trump in November's election. She made the announcement during a National Guard Association gathering in Michigan where Trump was also speaking.
Kind of surprised by that one. I don't know her, obviously, and I don't know that much about her, but she always seemed like a centrist to me. So I'm a little surprised she's signing on with MAGA.
She has really turned against the Democrat Party. She says she doesn't recognize the party anymore.
Fair enough.
And Donald Trump has vowed to create a Space National Guard. You know, he originally created the Space Force. Now that the Space Force is up and running, Trump says the time has come to create a Space National Guard as the primary combat reserve of the U.S. Space Force. I'm fascinated by the Space Force.
Yeah.
I wish we knew more about it.
You don't hear much.
You don't. You really don't. And
we don't really have anybody in space doing the
But it's
got
to exist, right? There's got to be people in the Space Force.
It feels like Space Force maybe could help those. We do have some people literally stranded in space. It seems like that's something.
I hadn't even
thought
about that.
Could do.
One more story here, and then we'll go to break. Heat-related deaths have more than doubled since the year 1999. At least 21,518 people have died from heat-related deaths since then.
Good finish.
Yeah, sorry to end on a down note.
Yeah, got squeeze this one in.
You got a Dave Murray
guys,
reaction
Real quick, let me just tell you about all these dead people.
Oh, O'Reilly.
We're at
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.